It's a joy to have all you mothers here today, Mother's Day, and those of you that are watching us online, we bless you in the name of the Lord. It's also good to be back. My wife and I were away. My oldest brother's son got married in Vegas, and so we had a wonderful time there, and we ran into some famous guy named Jason Aldean. Anyone ever heard of Jason Aldean? Him and his wife were there. Unfortunately, I didn't grow up with country music, so I'm not a country music person. But him and his wife were there, very lovely people. He was the guy that was in Vegas on stage when they had the sniper shooting people years back. Remember that? That was the gentleman. And all my nieces and nephews were giddy and all excited, but no one had the guts to go ask him for a picture. So I said, look out. I went up and asked him for a picture, and him and his wife said, sure, we'd love to give you a picture. So now I'm the favorite uncle of the family, because they all got a picture of this famous country singer, and they're very nice people. And then we went up to see my son. We flew up to Reno. And it was, we had a nice time with him, and it's good to be back, amen? How many of you know it's always good to come back? I learned something totally off topic, but I'm going to help you who fly. Don't ever take a direct flight, because they're deceiving you with a direct flight. When you fly, you want to take a non-stop flight, because a direct flight means we're going to make you think it's nonstop, but we're going to take you from Hartford to Jacksonville, and you will not get off the plane. We'll direct you eventually to Vegas. So a direct flight means it's not nonstop. You go to a place, and then you go over. And so that's what we learned. I won't mention the airline so I don't get sued, but remember, someone said it. Remember, when you want no stops, don't get a direct flight. Go nonstop. It's always worth the money. Amen? Amen. Are you aware that it was a mother that ushered in the greatest seasons of miracles this world has ever seen? Did you know that it was a mother that knew about life, knew about wedding, and she knew her son could fix a problem before his ministry was supposed to begin? This mother's active faith called upon her son Jesus to begin the first of many miracles that were happening over the next 3.5 years. Did you know that? I want to talk to you about one of the greatest women that ever lived. Her name is Mary, the mother of Jesus. And what she did, and what I hope by the end of my teaching today, that you mothers will not only know what Mary knew, but that you will act like Mary acted. And with her actions, it ushered in great miracles, signs, and wonders in this world. Isn't it amazing what Mary knew that some women have forgotten today? We're going to talk about that, and we're going to start by going into John chapter 2. And why don't you stand up, and we'll change our positions. We're going to read the story from John chapter 2 when they all went to a wedding. And it says, on the third day, which is Monday, remember the Jews, the custom of the Jews, the first day is the Sabbath. Our first day is what? Sunday. Theirs is Saturday. So on Monday, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now, both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding, and when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to them, they have no wine. Jesus said to her, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? He got a little upset. My hour to begin my ministry of miracles is not supposed to happen right now. How many know that? It's not yet. But Mary's active faith says to the servants, Whatever he says to you, do it. Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. That's pretty tall water pots, isn't it? And Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water, and they fill them up to the brim. And then he said to them, draw out some now, and take it to the master of the feast. And they took it, and when the master of the feast had tasted the water, which was made to wine, and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew. And the master of the feast called the bridegroom, and he said to them, hey, most people, when they throw a party, bring the best wine out until they get a little tipsy. Then they bring out the cheap stuff, right? But you have kept what? The good wine until now. This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee, and he manifested his glory, and his disciples what? Because of a mother who had active faith, Mary knew something that no one else knew. The faith began something miraculous. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for this message today, that it would, Lord, penetrate all the moms in the sound of my voice and everyone else, Lord, that we would not just know what Mary knew by the end of this sermon, but we would do what Mary did, Lord God. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. You may be seated, please. Now, a Jewish wedding is quite different from a Gentile wedding. Our Gentile weddings might last 3, 4, 5 hours, right? But a Jewish wedding lasted 3, 4 days. You with me? The Jews are smarter than us. They eat the reception first, and then they decide on the gift after. They eat and feast first, and then they have the wedding ceremony after. You with me? And so you have to understand sometimes the custom and the culture of the Jews to really get what's going on in this story today. Jews would never go to a honeymoon after. For a Jew to marry a woman, you had to have a house before she would say, I do. And so when they would have the feast, there was no feast and ceremony until he built the house. And then after the feast and the ceremony for 3 or 4 days, then he would pick her up and they would go into the house. And for the next 7 days, they would celebrate that marriage in the whole town of Galilee. And they would put crowns on the bride and groom's head. And they would celebrate them like royalty. And if you were never spoiled or treated like royalty before in your life, you were the day of your marriage and the following week. You with me? Now, in our culture, when we are at a wedding feast and they run out of brujout, we get a little bit upset, but we don't stomp out and begin to, you know, gossip and slander the MC and the people who got married. But in that culture, one of the number one unspoken rules is you always entertain your guests. And you must never run out of things to entertain them. Remember Jesus told the story of the man who had a friend come over and he had no bread? And he said, I got no bread. And what did he do? Because he had no bread. He went over to his friends and started banging on the door at 11 o'clock at night. And he says, please. And he says, go away, go away. He says, I'm not going away. You're going to wake everyone up. No, you give me bread. I got guests. Because if I don't have something to entertain my guests, it's like telling your guests, I don't want you here. You see the background of the custom of the Jews with a wedding? Now, they ran out of what? And they ran out of wine before the ceremony. So if you're there and you're thinking how much to give the bride and the groom and you run out of wine, and you're a Jew, you're thinking, did you write that check yet, honey? I don't think they want us here. Who runs out of wine before a ceremony? And so it was a disgrace. And Mary knew something about disgrace. Remember Mary, the mother of Jesus? Mary knew something about disgrace. She was accused of having a child out of wedlock. The Virgin Mary accused of having a child out of wedlock. And her fiancé thought she cheated on him with someone else and got pregnant and was just lying through her teeth. Mary knew something about disgrace. And look what the scripture says here. They said to Jesus, when Jesus was beginning to minister in John 8, we were not born of what? Fornication. We have one Father God. So even after Jesus grew up, people kept slandering Mary, mother of Jesus, that she got pregnant out of wedlock and this is an illegitimate son. So how many know Mary, even though she was disgraced, it didn't stop her from living life? And she used her pain to help someone else who was being disgraced at a wedding. She knew the bride and the groom were about to be disgraced because they ran out of wine. Do you know you can use your hurts and your pains in life to minister to someone else who's gone through or is about to go through what you went through? That's the power of a testimony. When you share with someone what God brought you through, and they're going through it, or they're about to go through it. And so, you know, as I just read the story, they ran out of wine, and the mother of Jesus said to Jesus, they have no wine. Now, you're thinking, big deal, you know, they run out of brajout, they run out of wine, they run out of shrimp. No. This is a Jewish wedding. You don't do that. It's like telling the people that came, we don't want you here. The disgrace that was coming upon them. And legend has it that the bride or the groom was a part of Mary's family. And so that's why Mary was there. That's why Jesus and his disciples were invited there. And they just didn't know. Can you imagine the parents of the bride and groom saying, oh my gosh, they haven't even had the ceremony yet, and we're disrespecting the people. And so Mary's just like, what are they going to do? For 7 days, they will not be marching up and down the streets of Galilee with crowns. They'll be slandering them for 7 days. This is the couple that ran out of wine. What idiots. They didn't even get the gifts. I didn't even give them a gift. You're going to run out of wine. You're not going to get anything from me. And so this is what Mary's thinking. Mary knew something about disgrace. Number two, Mary, the mother of Jesus, knew something about divine power, did she not? Look at this scripture. And the angel answered and said to Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the what? The power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Mary knew something about divine power. And Mary's husband, we don't know when Joseph died, but how many know in that culture, when the husband dies, the oldest son takes over and has to provide. They have to go to work. So Joseph taught his son Jesus how to be a carpenter. And so Jesus had to continue the carpentry business until his ministry began at age 30. And so he's providing, but one thing you may not know is when you go into the ministry, no one just shows up as a Billy Graham to the world. There's preparation before you go into ministry. There's training. There's studying. There's a lot of things. And Mary watched her son prepare for the public ministry. Mary knew something about Jesus that no one else knew. Mary knew, and her faith activated what she knew about Jesus. It's not enough to know what Mary knew. You must do what Mary did. It's not enough to know that Jesus can do a miracle. You must get involved and get Jesus involved in your life and call upon Jesus like Mary did. Because Mary knew something about power. In the story, when they ran out of wine, Mary, the mother of Jesus, with activated faith, she wasn't passive. She didn't keep her mouth shut and said, Jesus can do something. I believe Jesus does miracles. No, she opened her mouth, moms, and she said, they have no wine, Jesus. I know power. I know the power of the Most High is upon you, and I know you can do something. And he got mad. Woman, it's not time for my ministry to begin yet. And what does she say? She says, just do what he tells you to do. It's not enough to know what Mary knew. You have to act like Mary and activate your faith. How many are with me? A lot of people believe in signs and wonders, but they don't have them. You want to know why they don't have them? Because they don't do what Mary do. They just know what Mary knows. Let's move on to the third thing about Mary. The third thing you need to know about Mary, and this is how you can activate your faith, is Mary knew about the duty of a servant. Do you know who Mary asked in her activated faith to help this disgraced couple that was getting married that ran out of wine? She went to the servants. She didn't ask Jesus' disciples. She didn't ask anyone else. It says in the next verse, it says, his mother said to the servants, whatever he says to do, what? Sometimes activating your faith is going to the right people who also have faith. She knew that a servant knows how to perform his or her duty. Do you know what the duty of a servant is? Do you know we are all called to be servants of Jesus Christ? Do you know what it means to be a servant of Jesus Christ? It means to be joyfully obedient to what our Master tells us to do, right? Tells us to be joyfully obedient. Now, this is what moves Mary's faith from passive faith to active faith to the miracle. When she knows there is no wine left, she stands up, she goes over to the servants, only the servants, and she knows they know how to obey. That's what a servant does. And she says to the servants, you see that guy over there? That's my boy. My boy, right there. He's going to fix this mess. He's got power, and he's going to say something. Now, whatever he says to you, you do it. No, you didn't understand me. He may say something silly to you. Sometimes God may say something crazy. He may say something you don't understand. But your servants, your job isn't to understand. Your job is to just what? To obey. So that's where Mary's faith moved from passive to active. And so they go over and they go to Jesus. And Jesus says to them, 7 words of wisdom. A word of wisdom is a gift of the Spirit. Word of wisdom, how to apply, what to do in a given situation, that if you obey, what is asked of you, it will link you to the miracle. You with me? So Mary gets up. She says to the servants, look at my boy over there. They look over at Jesus. Word of wisdom number one. They obeyed. They looked at Jesus. Number two, Mary said, whatever he says, do it. Whatever he says, do it. You with me? Now, who made billions of dollars off the slogan, just do it? Who really should have the patent on that? Mary. A Jewish woman. Now, you know where they got it from, don't you? I think there's a movie coming out about that with Michael Jordan and everything. So she gets them to Jesus, and Jesus says, you see those six pots of 20, 30 gallons of water? Now, back then, the Jewish custom is that they would have water, and you would wash your hands in water before you ate. You never ate at a Jewish feast unless you washed your water. How many know they didn't have hoses? They didn't have sinks. They didn't have faucets. How did they fill the six 20 to 30 gallon pots of water? The well. What did they have in the well? They didn't have one of these. They didn't have one of these. They had a bucket. So Jesus said, you see those six pots? Look at the six pots. That's number three. Take them to the well, number four. Fill them up with water, number five. Take a little bit of the water and bring it to the master ceremony, number six. Word of wisdom, number six. And let them taste it. Seven words of wisdom. And when they obeyed, there was a miracle. You with me? We're missing active faith in our lives because we're not obeying. Oh, I believe in Jesus. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, but he doesn't perform signs in my life anymore. Is it because you only know, but you're not doing what Mary does? How do you get the miracle of Jesus in your life? You got to get Jesus involved. What did Mary, mother of Jesus, do? She got Jesus involved. Did it upset Jesus? Yep. Might it upset people if you have active faith? Yep. Should you care? Nope. Not if God's going to be glorified with an answer to prayer. You with me? Now, if you haven't heard anything, hear this next part. It's the most important part. Mary knew about the desires of the heart. Mary knew about the desires of the heart. Now, many people don't understand that in the Jewish culture and in the Israeli culture, every Jewish girl had a heart's desire that she would give birth to the Messiah, but only one would give birth to the Messiah. Every Jewish girl had a heart's desire to give birth to the Messiah. Mary had her heart's desire when she, as a virgin, conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and gave birth. You with me? Many Christians today don't believe in the goodness of God. They believe barely in the mercies of God and a little bit of the grace. They believe that God supplies our needs, but he doesn't go beyond that much. And that is not true. For us, if we ran out of wine, it would be no big deal. But for them, it was a big deal. It was a big deal. Can I tell you something? God is more interested than just your needs in your life. He also wants to satisfy the desires of your heart. Are you aware that the first miracle that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, ever did was not raising someone from the dead, was not a hemorrhaging woman with an issue of blood getting healed. It was not opening blind eyes. It was not opening deaf ears. It was not causing the lame to walk or the dumb to talk or the lame to walk. The first miracle Jesus ever did was satisfying someone's desire of the heart. Isn't that good? Aren't you glad that God isn't just concerned about your needs, but the desires of your heart? God cares about your dreams. And some people don't understand this scripture. Let me read the verse before verse 4. Verse 3 says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness." That's verse 3. Then verse 4 says, let's read it together. "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you not just your needs, but your desires." You know the problem with some people in church? They don't know the God of this Bible, and they think if I'm ever going to get a desire of my heart met, I've got to go out of the church and go into the kingdom of darkness and go get my desire met outside of the kingdom of light. And some people do that. They walk away from the church, and they say, "I've always had this dream, and I know God won't give me this dream, so I got to go to the camp of the devil, and he'll give it to me." You know anyone like that? Sure you do. Because they don't know that God gives the desires of our heart. The first miracle Jesus performed was someone's heart's desire. Not a healing, not a resurrection, a desire. It's just tremendous. Now, here's another good scripture, Psalm 84:11. Let's read this together. "No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly." Did it say no good need? No. It says no good thing. Does a heart's desire qualify? Well, what are you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about getting a car that you have your eye on. I'm talking about buying a house. I'm talking about maybe getting a cabin in the woods. I'm talking about maybe getting a boat. Is that a need? No. Is it a heart's desire? Yeah. And if it's important to you, how many know? It's important to the Lord. It's important to the Lord. Don't think you got to go out of the church and get mad at God and have, you know, when you don't think God can fill your heart with joy, let me tell you something. That's when your faith goes to unbelief, and that's dangerous, because 3 million Israelis died in the desert because they refused to believe in God's goodness and bringing them into the promised land. He said, "I got a promised land. I got vineyards that you never planted. I got houses you never built. I got properties. I got cities with walls that you never built. I have all these good things for you." And they said, "No, he doesn't. He's starving us." And they couldn't believe in the goodness of God and the heart's desires. And because of their unbelief, they missed out. They didn't know how good our God is. You need to know how good our God is. And you need to know this, what John the Baptist said. John answered and said, "A man and a mother can receive nothing good in this life unless it has been given to him or her from" where? Only good things come from heaven. They don't come from hanging out with the wrong crowd and going into the devil's camp, and that's where the fun is. That's what the devil wants you to think. But John, the cousin of Jesus, says no. Every good thing, in fact, that's the next scripture in James. Every good thing and every perfect thing, gift, is what? And where does it, come up from hell? It comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Very important that we understand that. So let me close with this. Mary knew about the desires of heart. Mary had a desire that she would be the young virgin that would conceive and give birth to the Messiah. And did she have that heart's desire? Mary knew that this disgraced couple who ran out of food, they ran out of wine before the ceremony. She knew something about disgrace. She knew something about the power of God. She knew if you're going to get God involved with your heart's desire, you can't just know what Mary knew. You got to act like Mary knew. You got to call Jesus into the situation. You got to get him involved. Amen? It may irritate people, but it was the beginning of the miracles that Jesus performed. I want you to know that though you may not think God is concerned about where your kids go to college, God is concerned about where your kids go to college and university. You may not think God's got time to worry about you going on a nice family vacation. God of this Bible, I've learned this from Mary, what Mary knew. He's concerned about heart's desires. And if your desire is a nice vacation, I mean, no, God can give you that heart's desire. Whatever it might be. What about if it's getting out of debt? God is concerned about getting out of debt. What is it about marrying the right person? God is concerned. Amen? But your job is to do this. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto. Do heart's desires qualify for things to be added unto you? Yes, they do. Mary, the mother of Jesus, she knew this. I know this. You know this now. And remember, knowing is passive faith, but doing is active faith. Amen? Amen. Would you bow your heads? And I'm going to ask my wife to come up while I'm praying. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord God, that this message of what Mary knew, that no one else knew at the wedding, if she did nothing, there would have been disgrace. But Lord, I thank you that you included this. Lord God, you included this as the first miracle. And I pray, Lord God, that those mothers that are here today, maybe they've forgotten that Jesus still performs signs and wonders. Maybe they need a miracle. Maybe they don't think they qualify. Let them know, Lord God, everything you do for us is because of your goodness, not because of our goodness. And you desire, Lord, to give us good things. We ask this in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Amen.